Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 192. Unfortunately, it's a beautiful day, but we've had to move inside.
192? You are 2 months off the 200th show.
I know,
what
yeah.
What's the big plan for the 200th show? Wait,
well, there's...
Where's the you? It's a we. Well, you've yeah. got... We're 200...
We're 8 away. Well, we're trying to come up with a few ideas. I mean,
Andy's, I had a great idea.
Andy suggested we go to a game, but it's...
The week of our 200th show.
Getting people to do that is another thing.
Just go to a pub and get smashed.
Go to a pub and get smashed.
Let's do that.
Unfortunately, whenever we've done that of an evening before, we've not really recorded anything worthwhile. But then some would argue for the last... 191 shows we haven't recorded anything worthwhile.
Look at the shit that's on our website at the moment. Has anyone read that Tottenham review?
At least Dan wrote to me. He's at the bar at the moment. We'll get him to he can have his right to reply in a minute. Apologies for no show last week. Unfortunately, work got in the way of things.
But we're back. You went and got pissed at lunchtime on Friday.
No, I didn't actually. Dan had a half day. Jim had a meeting and I went and got pissed. So yeah. One of those, but we're back this week, and that means we've got 2 weeks to talk about. Unfortunately, I don't think we can remember anything from the week before, like the League Cup or anything, so we won't talk about that. But Dan,
you didn't do a show the week happened? That Man U got dicked by MK Dons.
It was a lovely coincidence. Yeah, exactly. So there was nothing to talk about. No, that wasn't the intention behind it. It was a case that I think you were off, weren't you, Andy? And you were busy.
I was busy. Yeah.
No one really fucking cares.
No one cares. Yeah.
No, I was off. Yeah.
Oh, good. You were off. We can all move on now, can we? Yeah. All right, listeners, go about your normal daily lives. You know now why Andy wasn't here last week. What were you doing?
What were you doing?
I can't remember. I wasn't doing this.
That's, I just remembered what I was doing.
I still
doing.
Can't believe Mike didn't do one.
Because there was only the three of us there on the Friday. You went out to a meeting. Dan had half day.
Is it anything to do with Man United lost to MK?
He did. It was terrible.
He's actually getting...
He's actually it was laughable. And obviously, I think it was a terrible performance. Laughable. All credit to MK Dons as much as their pricks.
Well,
they actually played really well. Will Grigg
showboating after the game.
I know, it's hilarious.
I like the fact from one performance as well, the lad nearly got a move to... Was it Liverpool hijacked Man United's beard and they were both talking to him, but now he stayed there. Which is good for him, I think, because otherwise 18-year-old kid goes to Man United, he won't get a look in, will he?
Well, he will in the League Cup next season when we lose to MK Dons.
Well, possibly.
Depends if he's a defender or not.
No, he's quite an attacking midfielder.
Oh, no, we don't need defenders. We're just going to buy attackers.
If this game had been next week, Mike, you'd have just won 5-4, wouldn't you?
Probably, yeah. Kevin Keegan's taking over as manager. Then we're going to go that route. Brilliant.
But Kevin Keegan and Philippe Albert.
Oh, Philly Albert at the back.
So don't ever say he didn't worry about defence. Yeah, Philly Albert in defence. Admittedly, he scored one of the best goals of his reign.
Oh, yeah. Against Man United. Against, in a dropping.
Yeah. 5-0, was it?
5-0, yeah. It was week
he also had Steve Howie as well.
Yeah.
Steve Howie, ex-England.
Warren Barton, John Beresford.
Barry Venison
was there. All
Steve Howie got into the Euro 96 squad.
Didn't play, no,
but he celebrated when we beat Spain.
How did he get into that?
I'm trying to think, the other centre-halves at the time, we had Hugo Ekiog, we had, I think that's why. 96, yeah. Obviously, Adams, Campbell, Southgate went, and Stuart Pearce.
Was Campbell there?
Yeah. Campbell, didn't play.
I was going to say, he must have been really
Because they played with Southgate, Pearce, and Adams as a back three, and then Gary Neville and...
Gary Neville as a full...
McManaman, or Anderson, depending,
The dreaded three at the back. How is that going?
Neville had a great tournament
for Shearer's header, didn't he, against Scotland?
Neville actually stamped his place in the England squad for the next 10 years, '96, didn't he? So.
And arguably he's never really been replaced.
Arguably,
as a lot of players probably from that Euro 96 team haven't. I don't think we've ever really replaced David Seaman.
I can't believe he's brought Danny Rose into the fucking England squad.
Oh, what is that about?
Well, there's a place to start. International week, which is shit because it's internationals. England, lowest attendance of all time at Wembley probably tonight, or is it since the new Wembley started?
Since the new Wembley.
Is it tonight?
Tonight, yeah.
Tonight, mate.
They'll put it up
that
to
is
about
how much?
45,000.
I couldn't give a shit.
But it won't be 45,000 in there.
Nah.
The FA will save
are they cut, are they cut off the top tier?
No, I think they've opened that. There'd be most, if the top tier's open, there'd be most people out there because they're the cheapest seats.
Yeah. Shouldn't they open it up though, should they really? Obviously,
they'll just be
make
some...
it cheap everywhere. The problem with this international... It's about 45 quid, isn't
it? It should be fucking 20 quid a pop for this shit.
It's cheap.
Christ, after the World Cup, it should be free.
Yeah, you're right.
The thing about
this international... They should have done that. If they're struggling for tickets, they should have given them away to kids or anyone that travelled to Brazil, and they know who travelled because you have to apply via the FA. give them free tickets. To be honest, if I got free tickets, I would have given them away. I wouldn't have gone today. Yeah. But I would have given them to someone.
Someone would have used.
Someone would have gone. Yeah.
This international, as I was trying to say before, is always it's the historic. It's historically the worst attendance of any England fixture throughout the season. It's always
Argentina
a really bad
in Germany as well tonight.
They are, yeah. What?
It's just historically we never sell it out.
Because England are always shit in tournaments.
England always shit in tournaments. But you also have the new season starting, so a lot of people have been to see their club teams. If you can't get.
But we've still got two massive games coming up for England.
Well, Switzerland away. Which is the toughest game in qualifying.
I thought we had two.
Yeah, we've got Norway tonight in assembly, and then we've got
I thought we had another two, but yeah,
the worrying thing is that, you know, there's people pulling out with injury, and actually, this is the game that is probably the one that it's going to be the hardest, isn't it?
Switzerland, definitely.
The away leg.
Kolbak's pulled a pinch, doesn't he?
If we get a point, I'll be happy.
Welbeck's definitely not in the running for playing tonight because he's taken it onto his shin.
Sorry, say Kolbak, the ginger pillow.
The ginger pillow, one of the four uncapped players along with Chambers.
Well, apparently he started superbly from Newcastle.
Yeah, he has.
The social media, the pillow campaign? Where is it? Juve's. That doesn't impress Pirlo. So you've got to send in videos. It's a fucking brilliant ad of people like trying to do something impressive, juggling or some shit, and it's just Pirlo not looking impressed. And because he always looks fucking miserable, doesn't he?
I've seen a video of that. You know the Spurs lad that got on the pitch and took the free kick.
Yeah,
I've seen him doing that. But where he just takes it and then it's just Pirlo.
Pirlo's not looking very. Yeah, they've done this whole social media campaign to get to do the things that the most impressed Pirlo.
The judge. Have you heard about the judge in that West Ham lad?
I actually couldn't believe that.
He came out and he said, told him that he bent it like Beckham.
Yeah.
And he did better than Christian.
He basically just made a joke of the whole thing. Yeah. A lot of people would be like, well, I'm pissed.
Well, do you know what it was? It was a 300 quid fine. That was it.
Yeah.
He didn't get suspended from football. He got 300, something like 320 quid fine.
I thought you'd have an all stadium ban.
Well, that's what I mean.
To be fair, he's just a daft drunk lad. He's not.
Yeah, but there's lots of daft drunk lads at every game.
I mean, you're every game.
And I'm drunk every game as well.
And daft.
Well, you're usually there for the first 40 minutes or so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to get that far.
No, but you're right. It is like the whole point is that you do not go on a football pitch. You definitely don't take. I mean, it was comical.
The judge actually called it himself right because he said, we need to deter other people from doing this, or football games could become a farcical of loads of people jumping on the pitch. So we're going to fine you £300, and you're going to get your name in every paper.
Yeah.
And he basically said you entertained a lot of people.
Yeah.
He said it all, but saying well
you
done.
I'm a legend. Yeah.
You're going to be on Match of the Day next week as a panelist.
Yeah. Just completely the wrong way to do it, and I bet the judge will get his knuckles wrapped by whoever. The FA will be looking at
who judges.
Fuck knows.
Fucking that's complicated. That's something.
Judy.
Probably Judy. Fred. Rules the roost. Yeah.
The best judges.
Yeah.
Jules.
Yeah.
Who's the best judge?
Judge Fudge from the Happy Mondays song.
Meh, possibly.
Judge Fudge sounds.
I think that's probably what the Happy Mondays were referencing in their witty Mancunian way.
Dude, I think Arthur Dredd wins it for me.
I think so.
If it's a fight, mind you, actually, the best
Dredd obviously wins.
The best
There's no
judge,
fucking no, with Dredd, is there?
Sorry, but the king of judges is Uncle Phil from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
He's a pretty good judge.
End of.
Too soft, though, isn't he?
Well, that's it. He tries to be all hard, but then in the end,
anyway,
he gives
back
Will
to Man
a
United being shit, because since we've gone from Man United being shit to Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I'd like to get back onto the.
We're talking about England, actually. I think we've moved on.
Let's go back to Man United.
No, I'm pretty sure we're talking about Man United.
Yeah.
Why not? No. Yeah. Well,
managed to get a 0-0 draw.
It's sad when you're actually quite happy to get a point at Turf Moor and feel that you've dodged a banana skin. Because it was. I was sat there watching it, thinking, We're going to lose this.
It's just a hopeless fixture for you, isn't it?
Di Maria looked all right. He looked like a player making his debut, but who is clearly a class above.
The Burnley players.
But we did. Well, class above most of the players on the pitch.
No, yeah, you're right.
Showed more class than anyone else. Yeah.
Apart from Anderson when he came on. He didn't move, did he?
Did he come on?
Anderson came
playing.
On, yeah.
But I was on a stag do. We were in a pub having more beers, and I sort of it was on in the background. I was keeping an eye on it.
I like that. He's got to give everyone
a
given them all a chance.
Because you never know. Anderson might come on and done something out amazing.
I thought he'd already. It seemed as though from what he said, he'd already said, "No, that's it."
Interestingly, on that is that Van Gaal said, "Look, I'm trying to offload 9 players. The only place he actually managed to offload was Hernandez on a loan." and Welbeck to Arsenal.
And cleverly.
And cleverly to Kagawa.
So four of the nine. Yeah, but
my point is, no one wanted Anderson.
Well, he couldn't
get rid of him.
He was actually linked with Burnley in midweek and never came off. He didn't actually play that badly when he came on. He didn't do much, but he ticked the ball over better than any of our other midfielders had. The thing is,
where's Carrick?
Injured. But I've heard what a conspiracy a lot of people have heard is with the MK Dons game, because they played 3-5-2 system with players who clearly either aren't good enough or aren't used to playing that system. I mean, putting someone like Marnik Vermeulen, right back, who's played once for us before at centre half, is a bit dodgy. But what I've heard,
King played from didn't he?
Michael Keane, who's gone on loan to Burnley, another one they were trying to get rid of. But a lot of people saying, well, Van Gaal probably was trying to say to these players, I've given you your chance, you've played in my system, you're not good enough, so
what's your verdict on it? Because I've always loved the fact that United are not a Chelsea, they're not a Man City, they don't go and spend ridiculous amounts of money. They've won trophies on the back of bringing players like Cleverley through, bringing players like Welbeck through, Fletcher, everyone. Well, they've now just become...
That's it. They said there's a lot of talk about when they've lost their identity having sold Welbeck.
I've heard loads of people say, oh, it's brilliant, Falcao's now in the Premier League. For me, I've become even more disillusioned with Premier League football and football in general with what Man United have done.
It's a mix of things. It would be nice if every year we could bring through a class of 92.
Just means, if you say you now recover and you compete in the Premier League season, it's just going to be like, I always liked and respected the fact that Man United did it that way.
But they bought like one star player every now and again, but the rest of
the Because no matter what they say about, you have to spend big and you have to buy foreign imports to win stuff, Man United were always the shining beacon and the example. No, you don't. Bring players
for play devil's advocate on this, because I am, as a United fan, disappointed to see Danny Welbeck go and cleverly not make the grade and all that, and I like it when we bring young players through.
Last season, Cleverley was playing absolutely outstandingly and Man United fans were raving about it.
I think Cleverley's a good player. I think he's shot of confidence, and I think the best thing that could happen to him is go to Villa, where maybe he can rebuild his reputation, because he's a very good technical player. He can pass a ball.
The thing about him, and this is the thing
that United need in their midfield, is that he's got energy, you know, and he's trying to make things happen.
He always looked like he was trying hard.
You need more than fucking energy to play for Man United.
Absolutely, but there's no energy in that midfield.
Going back to the point I was making. It is disappointing in that sense, but at the same time, this is a situation United have never been in before, where all of a sudden, certainly because of the way football's changed, all of a sudden we are massively behind our rivals.
Munich. You haven't been in that situation.
No, that's a different situation. What I mean is, in this modern era, we've never had a team that has looked completely dreadful. Since Ferguson came in, took it over, we've never been this far behind everyone else. And the one thing I will say is, at least when we've been out and bought players, it hasn't been through someone just coming in, taking over the club, putting money in. It's money that the club has earned and made by being some horrible manufacturing marketing machine. But it is disappointing. I'm excited to see Falcao play for United.
What would you say to the fact that the people argue that Man United have bought shit for the last 6 years as a general whole?
I'd say they've bought consistently poorly. As I'll say, everyone's been poor. The likes of Ampersand.
You've changed shit to consistently poorly.
Yeah, I'm a politician, aren't I? But the other thing I will say, actually, on the young players, we are still bringing young players through. It's not as if they've completely disappeared. We've sold some homegrown players.
But you've got to put some of the blame to Ferguson, surely, for not buying sensibly over the last six years.
You've still got Tyler Blackett coming into the team, albeit through injuries, but he's not done badly.
What's happened to Nick Powell? Is he out?
Nick Powell's on loan at Leicester now.
Why hasn't he been used in this? He's been a forgotten man, really.
And he's
a good player.
But apparently his attitude stinks.
Ravel Morrison's another United product which hasn't.
But the Townsend, terrible.
Townsend's a nice fella.
No, apparently his attitude stinks.
It's nice to me.
The likes of James Wilson are still coming through and getting their opportunities in the team. It's not as if all youth has been abandoned. It isn't like Chelsea, where, with all due respect, they very, very rarely play on the youth team product.
You don't have to give them any respect. Don't give Chelsea any fucking respect.
I've got two things to ask you.
I can't think of any Chelsea players.
No, I mean, since the Abramovich era began, there's no one who's come through their youth system and consistently broken to the first team.
I've got I've got two things to ask you guys, and they relate to things that we've both that have been said about United.
Spit it out.
Okay, so number one is, you're talking about City and Chelsea, who have traditionally spent a lot of money in transfer windows and brought a load of talent in, right? Yeah. They've never panicked for. So there's a big. So do you think there's a difference between how Man United have spent their money in the last 12
I'd
months
argue against
and how
that.
City and Chelsea have spent their
I'd
money?
I'd argue against that. They have panic bought in Spurs. Not City so much, but they're a
I don't
modern,
remember
but
City
I think,
ever panic.
No, I don't think City have, although they have
don't
done a
Chelsea panic
approach.
Buying either.
Chelsea, I think, when they're buying people like Boularoos and when they.
No, but I think not so much panic buying, I think more mass buying.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea just sort of went, right, we'll just bring a fucking load of players.
And they bought Crespo and Mutu.
Yeah,
they just
went, fuck it, we'll buy the lot. Yeah. I think, I agree. I don't think either of panic bought at any point. But unfortunately, that has been, fortunately for you, funnily for us, it's something that over the last couple of seasons, United appear to have done.
Fellaini was a panic buy.
I would say under Ferguson, I don't think we did panic buy him.
In
a way, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, great.
Well, most of the time, we didn't buy anyone.
We haven't bought a central midfielder for years. Yeah.
The
last year, we panic bought, yeah.
So the other question is, and this is on 3-5-2, is that, look, this is a formation that, by and large, for the last 10 years, hasn't really been used much in Europe. Certainly, I'm not too sure about South America and outside of Europe, but
it was only used by Van Gaal for Holland because Strootman got injured.
So this is a formation which is going to be pretty much absolute virgin territory to most of those players in that United squad who are being asked to play it, and it's a big ask to start getting players to actually gel together in a formation they've probably never played in.
It's just the defensive aspect.
Never played in.
3-5-2 when you've got the ball, it's a great formation to play.
As soon as you don't get the ball, at the moment with Man United, they're not doing anything with the ball.
I think the irony is, though, I mean, aside from that MK Dons game, which was a complete just disaster of a defence. Party for anyone who supports MK Dons, like your good selves. See you. Anyway.
Clutching.
The defence hasn't been terrible. There haven't been massive lapses in games. There was the one goal against Swansea where Ashley Young should have done better, but he's not a left back.
But Fennell said himself, he's not worried about the defending aspect. Yeah. Although you've conceded a few goals, he's worried the fact that when you've got the ball and when you had the ball with the players before the transfer window, you weren't.
Well, this is
chances,
the problem with the 3-5-2. You take another player, because effectively you're playing five defenders, because wing backs, like full backs, will get forward and support the attack. But when you've got three centre halves, it means you're taking a midfielder away, and that means it's one less person when you're trying to play the ball forward. What we need, and hopefully Rojo, by all accounts, will provide it, is someone who will storm out of defence and create things.
But it just makes it so much more narrow in the centre of the pitch as well. It makes it, because you're
I don't think it has to. I think it has so far because we haven't had the players who will take the ball out of defence.
It's made it so much more narrow with the wing backs having to do the work. But you've suddenly got. With the three at the back pushing up a little bit as well, you've suddenly got these fucking like 20 players just in the middle of the field.
Well, that's what you hope someone like Di Maria will bring, and also because the likes of Van Persie and Rooney have always drifted wide throughout their careers, and with Di Maria in there, maybe that will add them all width.
But I was thinking about this as well. And like, you know, if you're bearing in mind football players, traditionally not the most intelligent. Right, I think it's fair to say the average IQ of a football player isn't unbelievably high.
You tell that to Pat Nevin.
But like, you know, if you've been brought up for a youth team, you know, if you're a centre midfielder, you know what I mean, and you've been playing in either a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2 for your entire career, so you know your positional play. Obviously, there is that natural instinct with positional play.
Yeah.
There's also that you know where to play in that formation. You then suddenly get brought in, and you are told that you, like you said, you have to play a completely different formation, and you have to be in a certain place at a certain time. For me, even if I think the most fucking intelligent of football players, it's going to take them time to work out how to play.
Certainly for young English players as well. We grow up with a very backwards youth system from grassroots level upwards. I mean, most of us are playing 5, 16, 43 as a formation when you're all just whacking the ball around on a pitch.
Speak for yourself.
I mean, well, I'm sure when you were a kid you were all playing futsal down in Brighton, but we just used to have a knockabout. So they don't have this sort of intelligence that maybe the Dutch players who've come through youth systems do, where they've...
You say intelligence, for me, if they're at the top flight and they're at, right at the top
they
of their game,
good, they're, not.
They're there because they've got enough natural ability. They should be able to. It's when you lower down the leagues, if you started taking over a League One or League Two team and started to try and get them to play a 3-5-2, then even if they're the most intelligent footballer on the planet, if they haven't got the ability, they're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Fortunately for me, that's what our manager's doing at the moment, and it's carnage.
But do you think sort of natural ability versus like the, positional player quite, it's like the actual natural talent versus the intelligent footballing brain side, you know what I mean? The positioning.
I still think it would be 80-20, 80% on the talent, because if you're a good enough player, you'd be able to adapt to a position. Even if you're fucking brain dead, the manager tells you, right, you need to do this, you need to do that, you just do it. And because they are so dumb a lot of the time, they won't be thinking about it so much.
They'll do what you're told.
If they didn't tell the right things, then their natural ability will allow them to.
But it will take time.
Yeah, it will absolutely take time. But it'll be interesting to see.
The only league that's really adopted 3-5-2 probably in the last 10 years is Italy. It's still used in Italy.
But it's coming back into fashion because that's why Hoddle's got a job.
No, but there's a lot
because of the World Cup.
Yeah, it's been.
Like, as I say, Gillingham have been playing it for a couple of seasons because Peter Taylor, who is in the same coaching sort of school as Glenn Hoddle and a lot of other the old England, John Gorman and people like that, and he worked with Hoddle at 98. They've always been playing it, and it's
gone
out.
Is Peter Taylor still Gill's manager?
Yeah, he is.
Bloody hell.
But the thing is with 3-5-2 as well, in this day and age, more and more teams play the one up front with the two either side.
Yeah.
So if you look at what Man United were playing and what Chelsea play, that against 3-5-2 causes problems because you've got three at the back marking one forwards. Then when they're two that play wide push on, you've suddenly got three defenders marking one person, and it's
free. Yeah. And then three on three.
That's the thing about having three.
I don't get 3-5-2.
I get it, but the problem is that you've got, as we're all saying, you've got three centre backs, and one of them has to play as a sweeper. But then you tell me, like the last time that you were trained, that any of these centre backs were trained to be proper sweepers in the mould of what a sweeper is.
You can play two,
ball playing centre back. Yeah.
So you don't have to.
But again, you're trying to get footballers to play a position which they've never played before.
You have to pick someone comfortable, like Ferdinand would be perfect.
Absolutely, that's what I was going to get to.
Well, that's Ferdinand a lot of what QPR are trying to do. That's what I wonder when Michael Carrick comes back.
Apart the fact that he was fucking terrible against Spurs.
Oh, he was. Well, he showed.
No, but then he was probably one of the best players on the park against Hull. You know, so.
Yeah, but I think with Rio Ferdinand, it's going to be one of those where one week he's great. And
well, it was a combination of. I mean, they were all fucking useless against Spurs. Bearing in mind, you saw what a team that. Like, you know, the new Spurs team put under pressure can happen with the Liverpool score. The fact that it showed how bad QPR were when they came to the line.
Would they have been any better if they'd had Sandro in midfield?
Possibly.
Good link, Mike. There you go, I'm doing a silver. I would have liked Sandro at Old Trafford. I think he's a great little player.
Sandro or Alex Song?
Yeah.
Like some of the songs that other clubs
have made. Alex Song's great signing for West Ham.
Alex Song could have played that role we're talking about, a defender who can bring, because he's played centre half, he can pass the ball well, he can bring the ball out. He's big, physical.
In my book, out of the top sort of teams, Arsenal, Spurs, and Man United were the players that needed players. Spurs only are forward, I think they're fine everywhere else.
Yeah.
But Pochettino's obviously looking at it thinking, right, we spent all of our money last summer, these players have got to come on, and they look like they are.
Yeah. Well, we needed to shore up the defence, which he did earlier, and then we needed a strike, which we didn't get.
Man United needed defensive minded players, defenders or defensive midfielders.
Yeah,
David Blint.
Well, all right.
Yeah, he was brought in.
And then Arsenal needed a forward as well. And then obviously Welbeck has come in. Personally, I've always liked Welbeck for England.
I think it's a really good signing for Welbeck for England. Man United got good money for him, you know. And
was that good money, really? 16 million?
Well, it depends how you look at it, because the market's obviously inflated. You could have 12 million for Ross McCormack. But at the same time...
Or for Shane Long.
Shane Long, 60 million for Balotelli.
But, that's it. In that sense, I think compared to Balotelli, it makes Welbeck look like bad money, because Balotelli's clearly a more established player. Yeah. Albeit, there's only, I think, 3 months in it between the two of them in terms of age.
Oh, really?
I think Balotelli's 3 months older, yeah. But I think Welbeck will do great, Arsenal. I wish him very well.
I think he was always liked. I think he'll do
I hope
really
he doesn't.
Well, no... Yeah, of course you don't. But it's a great little signing. But I mean, it was a great deadline day. I don't like deadline day. I think it's usually a bit overblown. But a lot seemed to fucking happen. I mean, Well, lots seemed to be happening up until yesterday, obviously, with Tom Cleverley moving the day later. But Ben Arthur going to them, we were talking about this in the office, Hull did really well.
Hull are one of the top winners, without a doubt.
But yeah. it's also, I think, one of those type of players they bought. Ben Arthur, Hernandez, Ramirez, and who was the other lad they got? Oh, Diarmé.
Yeah.
I think Diarmé's a great signing, regardless. Although,
that's another one. Diarmé could have done a job with some of those teams.
Well, last summer he was linked with Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yeah, he was.
3.5 million, was it?
There's questions about his fitness.
But even more so on Hull is the fact that actually now that they're out of the Europa League, shit, they've got a decent squad for the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'd expect them to be mid-table.
The only worry I was going to say is if your three other players have bought Hernandez, new to the Premier League, as we've seen quite often with South American strikers, have a great record in Europe, might not adapt. Ben Arthur and Ramirez. Ramirez hasn't really done it in the Premier League yet, but it's clearly a player.
And
Ben Arthur's questionable temperament. They could all be great.
But they've still got that core of a team that they've got, like Livermore and Huddleston in the middle.
And Davis and Dawson at the back.
Yeah, yeah. Dawson. I mean, and
it reminds me to an extent of Bolton under Allardyce when they had the likes of Okocha and Jorge.
Solid spine
and the Spanish
Bolton and Flair plays around him, Campo and
Campo. Really good player.
They had Fernando Hierro.
Yeah,
one of the greatest European centre halves.
Although he didn't
really
play much for
him,
did he?
He had a great season there, though, playing defensive midfield.
Hull have done very well. Steve, you've got to give Steve Bruce is building something very good there, considering it's.
My only worry, I love Brucey for obvious reasons, but mainly his Strictly Come Dancing stuff. But
his
handsome face. But
Mr. Potato.
He has got a habit of starting off really well for the first year or so at a job, like he did at Sunderland, like he did at Birmingham, and then it all.
But he seems to be building quite well.
I hope he can take it to that next
level. I think he's learned from his
experiences. He starts off in jobs, he never finishes them.
Didn't he have like five different managerial jobs in his first 2 years? He was Huddersfield, Birmingham twice, Palace twice or something.
There was a
Sheffield United.
Ridiculous amount of transfers, wasn't it?
I've got a list.
That's 6 million for Sandro, apparently it's closer to 10. And it fucking better be closer to 10.
You would
hope
so.
That is a ridiculous deal.
What QPR did over the Barini transfer as well. They agreed everything with Liverpool.
Yeah.
He came down and apparently just gave it the large one.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
And whereas last time they were in the Premier League, so 2 seasons ago, they would have just slapped the load.
Threw the money at them.
$200k, we'll give you $350.
Yeah,
Fernandes this time, staying true to his word, will do the deals that are right for the club.
Yeah.
And Austin scored at the weekend anyway for a massive win for them. I think he can do that.
Yeah, I'm pleased he scored.
Speaking of wages, did you see that? Is it Falcao, Rooney, Van Persie and Di Maria?
Wages,
1.1 million a week.
Ridiculous. The best stat on Burnley Man United was the Man United squad had cost in transfer fees.
Amazing.
And it was more than the whole of Burnley's existence.
Di Maria's
Burnley's.
They spent 45
million in their entire history. Their club has spent 45 million.
Their club record, I think, is 3 million for Stephen Fletcher.
And George Boyd. They signed George Boyd, and it was around 3 million. He'll score goals, by the way.
Who's the transfer you're just most annoyed with?
I'm annoyed about Sandro leaving.
You would be. I would be.
I'm quite annoyed with Zeki Fries going to Palace, because what a waste that was in leaving United, going to Belgium for a few months to get his transfer to Spurs and then just done nothing there.
My favourite transfer is Micah Richards to.
No, that's the one that fucks me off the most.
Why?
Oh, podcast debate.
Hashtag. He could actually be the answer to problems at right back.
Yeah, and I think him going to Italy will make him a better player.
Hodgson's obviously going to look at him, and he should be looking at Ashley Cole at bloody Roma as well.
Wow, so. Ashley Cole's different because of his age now.
Micah Richards, why has no one touched him with a barge pole in England
apparently
for so long?
Because we're not allowed to say which is the other reason I'm glad he's gone, because if he'd gone to a London club, he would have been amongst all his mates in the London environment.
That's why he's going to
Italy.
Hopefully
he'll stay off the sniff. I think he's fantastic. And
he really
also,
loves.
If he does get on his game, it depends if they're going to play him right back or centre back. I don't know, because he can play
either.
He'd be
great centre back. Hang on a minute. I mean, we're as troublesome. Gary Cahill, I think we're all quite happy with as a centre back, but Jack Yelka, yeah. I mean, the jury's well, more than out.
Well, no, tonight he looked rugby against Chelsea.
Tonight who's going to step
tonight? It's Cahill and Jones tonight.
Oh, fucking Jones yeah. as well. Jesus Christ. Let him get back to playing football at United. He shouldn't even be
what,
in that England
I'll tell
squad.
You what, at least Jones is playing at centre half now. At least he's just playing in one position, it seems.
I don't mind Jones. When he's played at centre half, I don't mind Jones at all.
I can't remember seeing Jones play well in over a
season. The one thing going back to England, Burnley, the one thing you can say about England. Team.
Yeah, all right.
You're in that England squad now. Yeah. Massive opportunity.
Oh, of course. Oh,
pretty much me, any yeah. position is just.
Oh, anything. Yeah, you're right.
If you look at it now, I still think.
What was that midfield? Was it Wiltshire, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Henderson, and who?
Sterling.
Is Oxlade-Chamberlain fit though?
Is he like a front three?
Is he fit? Because he took a really bad knock.
I reckon the only
thing come on
he's been announced
Leicester.
As part of the starting 11.
Who?
Oh, he's all right.
Yeah,
Chamberlain.
Oh. Yes.
I reckon the only three players now guaranteed an England start if it was qualified. Rooney, Sturridge,
Hart.
I wouldn't even say Hart. Rooney, Sturridge.
I wouldn't even say Sturridge, to be honest. I think he should be. He's a great striker, but I don't
think we've got anyone else like him.
But I think it depends on the system
I see
we play.
Rooney, Cahill, and Hart.
I'd say Rooney, Sturridge, and Cahill. I think Hart would be dropped. If Hart has a. And he hasn't had a great start because the goal against Stoke at the weekend went right through his legs. If Hart gets dropped again by Man City, which is conceivable because they brought in a decent striker from Spain, yeah. If he gets dropped and one of the other keepers, the fact that the Hart might be a guaranteed is because there's no real other keepers watching him.
Fraser Forster's
like
now in the Premier League.
Yeah, you're right. The fact he's now in the Premier League.
Who played against Costa Rica?
Foster.
Was that Foster?
Ben Foster, yeah.
Ben Foster,
I thought he had a great game. So he's
Ben Foster's not a bad goalkeeper. It's just whether his temperament's up to it.
Yeah. So Foster and Foster both pushing him. So I wouldn't say he's guaranteed.
I don't say he's guaranteed right now.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, like at this very moment, he's guaranteed.
Did Alex McCarthy end up going to QPR? Because I know he was linked with him, the Reading goalkeeper.
Yes, he is. Yeah, he went about a week before.
Because he's been in the squad for. It's great to have another English goalkeeper in the squad. Like Tom Heaton had a very good game for Burnley.
They could have got. They got off a check and they went for the young lads, and they reckon he'll usurp Green. Next mistake Green makes.
Yeah.
It'll be in
get there. McCarthy playing regularly. You've got Tom Eaton now in the Premier League, who's a very good young goalkeeper. Has done great for Burnley for the last few years and was at Cardiff as well, I think, before that.
I just like the fact that Fraser Forster looks like he should be in like the WWF.
He's massive.
When I went up to Glasgow, he was on the same flight as me a good few months ago. He had two paninis in half an hour just sat in the
Southampton.
Two paninis when, and then he wouldn't fit into his seat belt. He was massive.
Two paninis, which players were they?
Now
on a stick.
One other transfer which is interesting. And also I love it because of his name as well, Royston Drenthe. Yeah, he's gone to Sheffield Wednesday on loan from Reading.
Well, one of our listeners from
Real Madrid.
Real Madrid and Holland, mate. I mean,
and Everton. Link to that.
Fucking hell.
From Real Madrid to Everton to Reading to Sheffield Wednesday.
Link to that. Reading let him go because they brought in Glenn Murray from Palace, which I thought was really harsh on Murray because he hasn't had a chance.
Glenn Murray did well last season, didn't he?
When he came back.
Drenthe is a left back.
He's a left back. He's a wing back.
Van Hal signed him up.
He's a wing back. Yeah, fit him perfectly.
The only time I've ever played wing back, I'm not proud of it.
It's hard work.
It must have been about 8 years ago. No, fucking hell, about 9 years ago.
I'll get it right. We're on tender.
I thought you might be. And I'd gone out on the lash on the Friday night and might have dabbled in some recreational activities other than alcohol in my youth.
Crossword.
Kebab. It was on the poppers in the gay bar, wasn't it?
Got in. Steady.
Nothing wrong with that, Andy.
Got in at half hour's kip, got up and got told that we were playing 3-5-2 and I was playing wing back. And then not only did I play 90 minutes, it went to fucking extra time. I had to play 120 at wing back. I've never thrown up so much
in my life
after that game. It was fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That's my little story for you.
There you go. More from Dan next week. But yeah, it's, we haven't even talked about results from the weekend. I mean, or from last night. Gillingham won a big game.
Right. Gillingham can't start winning.
No. Johnston's Paint Trophy is just a pile of wankers.
It is. I'm so glad we're not in that shit anymore.
The good thing is, if it goes to the 90th minute and it's a draw, it goes straight to penalties.
Yeah,
now.
Straight to
penalties. That's quite like that.
It's been like that the last two seasons.
It shows how much I know about the
tournament. See, I was thinking earlier, it's a bit like the Football League's equivalent of the League Cup. Obviously, they partake, but for clubs from League 1 and 2, it's not...
Yeah, necessarily clubs, with any realistic promotion ambitions
don't want to be in
don't
it.
Really
but even better than that, it also changed its name like the Dickens, just like the League Cup.
Like the Dickens.
We've had LTV Vans Trophy, the Auto Windscreen Trophy. It's Johnston Paint now.
Can I just say, we're really ramping up the technology on the podcast.
Yeah, I've never seen an iPad.
No, yeah. Mike's got an iPad with him. Yeah. This is fucking mental.
Wow. I'm even wearing a suit.
Jesus.
Fuck it, I'm wearing my wedding shoes.
I know, you started earlier on today, yeah. Smart, Mike.
One thing I want to say about the weekend, Liverpool beating Spurs 3-0, and I hope he continues this form. Fuck me, Raheem Sterling was unplayable.
He was really good.
Everything that was good that came through Liverpool came through him. I mean, there's one point, midway through the first half, when he's picked up the ball on the halfway line, and it was we had sort of six defenders like in the way. In about 0.14 seconds, he's turned on a sixpence and completely cut out two of the centre midfielders and gone. And suddenly it's a 3-on-3 attack out of absolutely nothing. I mean, I love that. Oh, we've got to love the description from Brendan Rodgers.
But do you know what? Sterling said he'd never heard of The Office.
No. That hurts. Ricky Villa or The Office.
The fact that he's never heard of The Office at all. Because he was only about 2 or 3, I suppose, when it came out. It makes me... I'm not that old. We're not that old. It makes me feel really old.
I tell you what makes me feel old. Norway have got that 15-year-old lad in the squad from Strom Godset.
Good pronunciation. Is he the one that called Rooney fat?
No, he's not. That was the ex-Rooney Southampton player.
He alerted someone to
it. The captain. They're going to have to shake hands.
With that 15-year-old coming through, it's only going to be a couple of years before we have people born in the 2000s that are playing Premier League football.
Well, there's something if you go on the Guardian website, their section, The Knowledge, which asks all obscure football questions, their most recent one today. For The Knowledge.
We write for The Knowledge, don't we? Andy actually answered me semi-seriously for a second then.
Yeah, we're the ones in the know, aren't we? But they've actually got...
Sheepish.
They've actually got the question of who is the... Has there been a player born from the noughties playing Sasha yet? There's not yet. They're
noughties.
Getting close
noughties
to
noughties.
It.
Noughties, I still like
them. But the first player born in the 80s to play in Sasha football was Stephen Appiah, who went on to do really well for Parma and Juventus.
Good player. Yeah, he was really good on FIFA as well. Just quickly, while we're doing the weekend results, a couple of things in the lower leagues. Cambridge absolutely thumped. Yeah. Who did they win? They beat someone 5-0 on Saturday evening. Carlisle. And then Carlisle got rid of Graham Kavanagh. Joe Dunn has left Colchester United.
Graham Kavanagh's a bit of a legend in Carlisle as well, isn't he? He played for them.
Yeah, and there's talk of them appointing Steve Harper. Hull might let him go.
Goalkeeper?
Yeah. Hull might let him go. Is it Hull?
Yeah, Hull.
Sign a contract. Hull might let him go. Steve Bruce will just let him go.
If he could do worse, he could reappoint Michael Knighton.
You were telling me about
League
your
two as well.
Fixture at the weekend.
Portsmouth in League 2. They lost at home to Newport 1-0, but they had 16,000 there. Because they got 10 points at the start of the season, so they were absolutely flying. Yeah. They lost 1-0, but 16,000
in League 2.
That's fucking brilliant.
So your fixture at the weekend coming up is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, we're actually playing on... Gillingham are playing Friday night.
It's the big
Sky game of the weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
But there's nothing else
happening. Something to watch, isn't it?
It'll be quite interesting because it's Coventry's first game.
When's non-league day?
Coventry are back
Saturday.
At Rico.
Saturday.
Yeah, non-league day. I'm going to get down to Holy Teeth Town, so that'll be interesting. They lost 11-0 in the FA Cup recently. That'll be fun.
Question on Coventry back at the Rico this Friday is... So the reason that they stopped playing there last year is because Coventry hadn't paid their rent for using the Rico Arena.
Yeah,
so what's changed then?
When they left Highfield Rose, they went to the Rico, and Coventry have never actually owned the Rico.
They don't own it.
50% is the council and 50% is a charity trust.
Okay.
They were renting that for about 1.2, 1.3 million annually.
Right.
The original deal when they went in there was after a while they'd pay the trust 50% back and they'd get half the grounds.
Pay fuck all.
They never did that because they got relegated and they didn't get back up and what have you. Which means, obviously, if you don't own any of that ground, and the Rico Arena is a purpose-built arena. It's like a 24/7 business arena. So Coventry are making no money off that Monday to well, all week.
Yeah.
They also make hardly any money. Well, they don't make any money off the catering and all that sort of stuff. So they fell behind in the repayments. CISO bought them over, which was a hedge fund.
Yeah.
They couldn't keep up the repayments. So basically, it got to the stage where the landlords just sort of said, look, they haven't paid, so 1.3 in debt, and they weren't looking like paying it at all. So
it's fair enough, really.
Yeah, they didn't actually get chucked out. The owners took the decision to move them to Northampton, which is
cheaper.
Why, yeah,
and that's why they boycotted all the home games.
And it all broke down. As well as owing them the money, they also the negotiations broke down because the council obviously want to keep Coventry in the town, because otherwise they'll go mental and people will be voted out and whatever.
And it's revenue for the town as well.
If you've ever been to Coventry, they need it.
Well, people forget Coventry.
I've only driven through it.
This sounds something like a ghost town, as the special sung about. But they're lucky. I mean, Coventry were not a massive club, but they were established Premier League top
back
club.
In the day, my DT teacher was a fucking massive Coventry fan. They were quality back in the day.
They were something like the third longest reigning top flight team when they went down behind, I think, on the Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yeah. So when they left as well, the council, and they sat down and they tried to propose different terms. They said, we'll work through the debt. CISO then said, no, fuck you, we'll go. Because basically they weren't happy with the terms that were being agreed. So the Cov fans had a massive issue against CISO because they could have legitimately stayed
there.
So what's changed is they've sat down together and they've renewed negotiations. They've obviously come up with how they're going
to pay. What about the home fans on Friday, though? Are they going back? So is the Rico going to be full of Coventry fans or not? Is it just going to be full of Gillingham away?
No, it's full.
Because do you remember, I think it was about 18 months ago.
No, it's Friday.
So I went to, so this is two seasons, so not last season, the season before last, when Brentford were away at Coventry. And I think I showed a picture to the podcasters of just how empty a really good stadium is.
Well, they don't see it as their stadium. They still sing about Highfield Road. But
it'd be interesting to see how many they pack in there.
Well, they've sold out of the tickets. So basically, they've gone back. It's a load of issues because you had season ticket holders in Northampton, which they've got a reissue. But basically, they've sold about 20,000 tickets.
Yeah.
But they could fill the ground out easily. But at the moment, they've shut one of the stands because one of the reasons they wanted to do that is to get everyone a bit more together. But I reckon there'll be, I don't know.
You need to do that, because otherwise you just don't hear anything. Nothing resonates around the ground, because it is so big.
There's going to be upwards of 20,000.
It's a really good stadium.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
But they still don't see it as there. So this attendance on Friday will be interesting. They've put the tickets down to a tenner and five for kids. So they'd be a near sellout, I would have thought. Right. It's the games after that. They've got a two-year contract with another 2 years in place if they want it. But it's a fuck-up, because Gillingham fans, I can't get a train back to London, let alone back to Kent. On a Friday night, and Sky have only moved.
You need someone driving a bus.
So Jules will only take, I don't know, 500-600, something like that.
Yeah.
If that. So a bit annoying in that front, but I mean, we'll get some money from it being on TV. But it's good to see him.
Yeah. Guys, so shout out to Lewis Dunk, the centre back of Brighton, who scored two in the two all
last minute equaliser as well.
Yeah, last minute equaliser. That's fucking
first
ridiculous.
First ever goals. Headers in exactly the same part of the goal.
I'll tell you what's going on at Watford, because they've started the season absolutely flying, and the manager's quit.
That was always going to happen, and they've already got Garcia, the old
Brighton
manager. But they look fantastic. They got
Turkey, I think, or not Israel or Turkey, I think, for about a month. About two months went fucked.
And it was
Maccabi
Tel Aviv.
Yeah, I think it was.
They scored four. They won 4-2. I was Wigan at front, Birmingham.
4-0,
And Vidra was on the bench.
Good, yeah.
Troy Deeney didn't move either, did he? So he's still there.
Troy Deeney didn't move. He's signing a new contract. Signing a new contract. Yeah, they lost. Yeah. They sacked the manager. They got done by Bradford in the
That's a funny one. I mean, we're talking about in the office, and Hockaday's come in. He's had one managerial job in non-league. By all accounts, he's also not worked at any clubs of any pedigree. In the meantime, he's been doing coaching at non-league clubs, and I'm sure some non-league clubs have great setups.
We're also talking about, you know, Jim was making the point of Brendan Rodgers and stuff like that, but going back to Brendan Rodgers, is Brendan Rodgers the luckiest fucking Muppet on this planet, or does he really know what he's doing?
I think he knows what he's doing.
I think there's a bit of both. He's fucking nuts.
You've got to have a bit of luck.
But bearing in mind, when Balotelli had two really good chances early on against Spurs to put them up, missed them both, right? It shoots to the crowd. He's laughing.
He's going like this. He's clapping his hands.
Is he just absolutely? That was it. My favourite quote of the week.
And then when the keeper came out,
and he missed it. And he
that was a terrible,
terrible miss. And he's laughing. He went. Did you see when he went? What do you think the straight face you like, proper interview before after he'd been signed. What do you think Balotelli will bring to your squad?
Trouble.
Yeah.
I think he's methodical as well.
He's mad.
If you look at his background, he spent, when he was doing his coaching badges,
Rogers,
he spent 6 months with Mourinho. He spent 6 months in...
Well, he worked under Mourinho, he's youth team coach.
He's done
Chelsea,
loads of...
Yeah.
But even when Mourinho left, he went out there and he studied different countries.
And all the best managers are a bit mad, aren't they? I mean, look at Brian Clough, look at Alex Ferguson, look at Bill Shankly.
Look at Wenger. I mean, he's mad in his own weird way, isn't he?
But I'm really starting to warm to more side of Rodgers, because he just seems... He's such a ridiculous character.
Well, I think he's a breath of fresh air for management.
Yeah. What a contradiction in terms of that Man City game, Liverpool looked absolutely outclassed.
Yeah.
And then against Spurs...
No, I think they looked frustrated. I don't think they looked outclassed. City were just...
Well, they didn't look like scoring.
City
at all.
Just
well,
frustrated.
First half, Liverpool looked a better team, I thought, for the
first they did.
35 minutes.
City were just really frustrating to Liverpool.
That could just show you how good Man City and Chelsea are this season.
But then
Man City at the weekend.
You say that, and then Stoke beat them 1-0, didn't they?
At home.
That was fucking ridiculous.
And should have had at least one penalty.
To be fair, Chelsea looks great going forward. But the defensive lapses.
How many times you're associating Chelsea with a 6-3 thriller under Mourinho?
It cost us score two at the weekend.
Yeah, that's
4-3.
And he's a massive shit.
I love
Wanker.
I love Wankers.
He's such a cunt. That's what I need to see by him.
Chuck it in there.
Tim Howard had a right go as well.
There were so many like obviously articles after that, how Chelsea and Costa are the perfect fit. Like, he's such an arsehole.
And
he's going to end up getting his comeuppance at some point this season. He'll get sent off at some point for doing something daft. That'll be brilliant.
Some
nasty centre half will hurt him.
On complete cunts, Ashley Young took another dive, didn't he?
I don't know.
That was a fucking terrible dive.
Not one of his worst.
Not one of his worst.
That doesn't say a lot.
No, but any other player wouldn't enter your contest.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
A really bad dive.
And, yeah.
Ashley Young's my player of the season for having a bird shit in his mouth anyway. Nothing's going to beat that this season. Don't care what you say.
No, let's just fucking leave that there. Because that just sounds like... Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Let's just leave that.
You know what I think that could lead nicely on to?
Shit in his mouth.
We've not just got one iTunes review this week.
Well, have we got two?
We've not got two. No, we've got three.
Fuck off.
They're from the last couple of weeks. Obviously, we didn't have a show last week.
Doesn't matter. We've got three new
who
reviews.
Are they from? We'll go with the other. This one's from Lottie1000. It's 5 stars. A girl.
Standard.
I would imagine it is a girl with a name like Lottie. I don't know how much she knows about football, not because she's a girl, but because the title of the review is Great Especially Dan.
Jim Stokes.
Bear in mind, I think this is someone you've had a bit of a back and forth with on Twitter.
Although it's definitely not a girl.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I think Lottie probably represents a surname.
Anyway, get to it.
Hilarious every week, occasionally too Spurs focused because of Dan, so she still sticks the boot in.
Fair enough.
Although more football.
We're still saying she.
More football league chat happens when Andy Franks is around. I think that's the first time you've been mentioned in a review. Dan deserves an apology, though. He never said he hates Sheffield United, just speaks too much Cockney to be understood by normal ears.
Cockney? I've never heard him associated with Cockney.
It was Cockney rhyming slang I referenced.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And to be the next one, another 5-star review, thank you, from Jake Bull, who, to be fair,
we say thank you
for 5 stars.
Yeah, so Jake Bull, who, to be fair, I did have lunch with the other week and I told him to review it.
Yeah.
Are you going to get a lunch for everyone who reviews the show?
No, this is small world.
He's offering lunches to anyone that does review.
Hashtag free lunch.
If Trinity Mirror will pay for it, then that's fine.
Yeah, anyway, what does he say?
So he's been listening to podcasts for 3 years whilst I was travelling in Australia and New Zealand, and has been the way I kept up to date with all what is going on back home. His words, not mine. Great discussion topics and love the banter. Keep it off the Spurs talk, Jim, and you will have a listener for life. You didn't say Jim.
It was great.
Everyone loved it. Cheers, lads.
Always good when you have to explain your jokes, isn't it, Mike?
Hey, it's why my stand-up gigs go down so well, because I tell the joke and then I'll explain why it's funny to you.
Carry on. They
love it. If you all need a new A-League team now that City have been brought out. Western Sydney.
All right.
Thank you, Jake.
Final one.
4 stars.
Four fucking stars?
From both.
from who is this prick?
Born and bled 26.
Someone that knows something.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
He does say good stuff, lads, and I think the reason... Well, he explains the reason, I think, that he... And the
well, I maybe tell us what the review says,
yeah,
Michael.
Yeah, just read the review.
I'm trying to give some background, you twat.
I need a good background.
Well, now you're making it.
He's gone onto
longer.
iTunes, he's logged in, and he's done
his
a review.
Born, the 26 maybe refers to his age. I live in China, and this is a funny
right,
podcast.
Right, discount his opinion straight away.
Why did someone in China find out about our podcast?
Well, I'll tell you.
Thanks, Michael.
This is a funny podcast that an Aussie guy I met recommended over the summer. So there's some Aussie out there recommending
We're
us.
Actually getting word of mouth global, which is amazing.
Don't know where you guys went since season started, which I'm assuming that's why he...
last week
gave us 4 stars.
Right.
But come back to iTunes via Audio Boo. Along with the football ramble, this has the best mix of humour and football chat for me.
Oh, well, he does know what he's talking about, doesn't
fucking
he?
He knows exactly what he's talking
Thank
about.
Thank you to all three.
Thank you so much.
And remember, if you do write a review, we will read it out and I'll give plenty of background chat.
And Michael, take you for a
Especially if you fancy
lunch.
A lunch.
How are we going to do in this friendly tonight? We've got a friendly tonight. And we've got the qualifier next week, so how are we going
to We'll win 1-0.
Hodgson just needs us to get a result tonight, doesn't he? If it's 1-0 and uninspiring,
it's
no.
It's friendly tonight. I mean, what? I don't really give 1-0
Storage.
Tonight.
Yeah, but I mean, if we...
Switzerland.
If we lose, then he's... Not necessarily in trouble, because everyone will say, oh, it's a friendly or whatever. Yeah, but he will be... gutted if we lose.
But at a time when we're probably more disillusioned than we've ever been.
Mike, you haven't turned that off.
Team.
You might as well turn that off. We'll talk about the result next week.
We'll stop boring you about England. We're going to sign off.
It's
you just press delete, not okay.
It's
Tuesday the count, isn't
it? Yes. It is Tuesday the count. And you know, we're going to end it there. You know the normal score. Follow us on Twitter at Football Podcast. Write a review on iTunes.
This
we'll
is the podcast because we're going to carry on talking about England. Yeah. And I know me and Andy Fakes aren't going
to
agree.
Footballpodcast.tumblr.com.
We need to get results tonight.
Yeah, we do need to get results. And on that note, we'll see you next week.